Hi, this is Cheryl Wine. Why do we RV? Three words come to mind: cost, proximity, and opportunity. We've always loved being able to vacation every year with 1 week-long trip to the beach and maybe a long weekend or two sprinkled in. As we became more able to extend that vacation time, cost really became a hindrance. We weren't strangers to the idea of RV ownership and began to talk about owning one of our own. So cost, we finally came to the realization that we could possibly travel twice as much for half the price, and that sold us. Second reason is proximity. When I think of RV travel, I think of this. Where else can you park your home alongside a sand dune and be lulled to sleep by the sound of crashing waves? Where else can you sit by a fire, look up, and see a million stars in the sky because you're in an area with no light pollution? How many other people have their bedroom 20 feet from a gurgling creek and can sit and watch their kid float by on an inner tube? RVing gives us the proximity to many amazing places like this. Being able to wake up, fill up our coffee mugs, roll out of our camper, and take a walk on the beach is truly a blessing. And when I say proximity, I'm also talking about proximity to our two boys. With two teenagers, we are acutely aware that our time with them at home is short, and we are making the most of that time as much as we can. It's not always paradise, and they aren't always willing or interested travelers, but we'll forge on and pack in that RVing experience as much as we're able to. Last, we RV for opportunity. We are so very thankful to RVFTA and all of our virtual friends for sharing their experiences, giving advice, and basically opening up our eyes to all the wonderful destinations out there to explore. We've had the opportunity to discover places we never would have thought we would be interested in. Smoky Mountains? I don't think so. But hiking to the top of Clingman's Dome and taking in the view before us? That was simply amazing. Maine in summer? No, it'll be too chilly. But Acadia left us longing for just one more trip to the top of Cadillac Mountain because we simply could not get enough of the view. Now we're planning trips to Michigan and thinking about future plans to visit other awesome locations that were never in our minds before we had an RV. The opportunities seem endless, and we're excited for what the future brings. And that is why we RV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about something near and dear to our own experience, trying to be a happier parent at the campground.
Many of us are trying to create a stronger family bond by hanging out with our kids at the campground. We love our children so much, but how often do we stop and think about our own happiness?
You might think it's all about raising happy, healthy kids, but we know the grown-ups matter too. You are listening to episode number 224, Being a Happier Camper, Tips for Parents Who Aren't Quite Enjoying Every Single Minute.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, being a happy camper, tips for parents who aren't quite enjoying every single minute, it's time for another camping activity. And this one's really going to be really close to my heart and really close to Stephanie's heart. We're going to talk about reading at the campground, both of the adults reading at the campground and kids reading at the campground. And you're talking to two teachers here, so we value reading in our family. But before we do that, we want to thank our sponsors. Big thank you to Truma, to Thetford, to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and to Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. And last but not least, a big thank you to our friends at Jayco.
You can take the ride of your life in Jayco's 2019 Precept Class A motorhome. Luxurious and comfortable, the Precept features plush seating, a well-equipped kitchen, and Jayco's exclusive J-Ride Plus package for a smooth ride. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
What you reading at the campground? This has been tough.
Well, I wish I had looked back and seen when I made that initial spring camping resolution, because our longtime listeners know that yearly we've done a spring camping resolutions episode. And a few years ago I said, I'm just resolving to read again because I was an avid reader. And then kids.
Well, this ties into our whole theme.
My kids broke my brain.
This is why you selected this week, because it ties into the whole theme, like the ways that, you know, parenting can be all time consuming. It can consume all of your emotions. But maybe it doesn't have to. It's like if you're wanting to read more but feel like parenting's getting in the way, maybe you need to pull back a little on some of the crazy parenting and give yourself some time to read. Maybe that'll make you a better parent.
Yeah, and just a better person, right? Like, so one of my pet peeves is when everybody tells you that you can go and enjoy things because it makes you better. Like, you know, say women always tell other women, go and have a girl camping trip for the weekend because you can come back and be a better wife and mom. And I'm like, how? Nobody ever tells a man that. Nobody ever says, go golfing because it makes you a better dad. Like,
well, because golfing doesn't make you a better dad.
No, it's like, how about just because you enjoy it and you're a human being.
I get what you're saying.
You know, you just deserve to have time that's peaceful and relaxing as a human being. And, I did reclaim that a little bit because what would happen is I'd get these little bite-sized pieces of time. And so because you feel like you can't dive in and focus on reading, you just end up scrolling on social media. And I was like, this is for the birds. I want to really read again. And I did. And now, I mean, I keep my book log. I think I'm on like probably 15 books for the year already for just 2019. Like, I just read now and I read constantly and I don't let anybody tell me that I don't have the time to do that.
And good for you. And I think it also sets an example for our kids that reading is important. And like, hey, you know, mom's reading before bed. Give her some space. Don't be in her face, you know? And
you can read next to me in bed.
And honestly, I feel like we have fought this battle with the kids and I think we're winning. And I wouldn't say that about all aspects of our parenting,
yeah.
But the reading battle we are winning because all three of our kids are now willing to grab a book and read quietly before bed, which means that we can read quietly before bed.
Yeah. And I want everybody to know that this hasn't been an easy battle, like you said, with our kids, because every kid is different. And it's not only because you're a great parent, maybe, that your kids sit down and read easily. Some people just have kids that habitually just love that. I mean, I was a bookworm as a kid. My boys are right now in fourth grade. When I was a fourth grader, I was reading Nancy Drew. I was binge reading Nancy Drew and Babysitter's Club. Like, I would finish a book in a couple hours and move on to the next one. Our boys have never been like that. From day one, they'd rather be moving and be outside than sitting and reading a book. And we've had to build the reading habit with them.
It hasn't come naturally.
By brick.
And we know parents, and look, we're both teachers, so like you would think, oh, it would come naturally to our kids. Well, that didn't work out.
I mean,
and we have friends whose kids like read naturally. Like we have had to train our kids to read and to make reading important. And I mean, we've been at it for Max and Theo, we've been at it for 9 years and it wasn't easy, but
well,
now
here's
they
our tips,
are reading.
Right?
So
we're
let's
saying,
give the tips.
Yeah, let's actually talk about what we've done to do that. So the first thing that we did is we read bedtime stories around the campfire from day one. Even when the boys were super little, we always read books to them before bed at home. And what we did was we took that habit to the campground when they were 1, 2, 3 years old. And we always ended every day by reading them their
books. And since they were super little, just like we've taught them to pack their clothes and any sports equipment they want, they have to pack a certain number of books for an RV trip, depending on how long the trip is. So they're also selecting the books that end up at the campground, which I think has helped quite a bit. Instead of us randomly picking books, they're choosing what they want to read.
Yeah, we also have reading downtime for everyone. And you know, when they're littler, yes, you have to read to them or maybe give them books that they can flip through. Or maybe if they're really little, you're like, you can color, you know, what I read or whatever. But I think it's important to model that as an activity. If you want to do it, look, if you're not a big reader, then you don't have to model it for your kids. But if you want to read, then it's important just to say, like, we're going on a hike. I would say, like, this is reading time. And last year in South Dakota, especially with how much we were doing, we really built that into the day as a late afternoon downtime. And we'd say, we're all going to read for a half hour and then we'll go to the
and
pool.
It's really great with kids to give them that little break from stimulation at the campground to do that midday reading. I mean, before bed works more easily for us and more naturally for us, but also some afternoon time lets everyone kind of reset. And I think it helps to keep the kids from becoming exhausted and cranky towards the end of the day at the campground.
Yeah. And we also recommend the next tip is to go digital, right? So we've recommended Libby, the Overdrive app, and Kindles because it helps you to always have something available and lightweight even when you're traveling, right? You don't have to go out there and get a bunch of books before you hop in the RV. We're all busy, sometimes packing to get out on a trip is enough without, it's like, you know, you're not going to browse the shelves and figure out what you're going to read. But when you really do have that OverDrive app connected to the library, the Libby app connected to the library, and you can send it right to your Kindle, I can read for free from the library for our entire trip.
Yeah. I mean, look, I buy too many books for the kids. We should be doing the library more, but you're really good at
the library.
You're really good at
and I wait patiently for books that are on hold.
Those things are worth their weight in gold. Now, we also stock magazines for trips, and that's helped me a lot because you were talking about like the parenting brain where you only get small chunks of time and it's so easy to just end up scrolling through Facebook or something like that. A magazine's great if you just don't think like, I just can't pull off the book, you know, because wherever, whatever stage you're at, your kids are really little. You might only get 15 minutes here or there. Bring a decent magazine with you. That's helped me a lot over the years to just be able to like, I'm going to read one magazine article around the campfire tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm trying to finish a novel over a 3-day weekend, but I am going to read some articles from my Trailer Life magazine.
And I always put like those quick and easy magazines like in our camper also, like, what is it? I don't know
Live Simple?
Why that shows up at my house, but it does. And I throw that in the RV because that's like the old version of scrolling, right? On social media. Like you can easily, it doesn't take a lot of focus. You can flip the pages. You can find some interesting tips. Living Simple, Simple Living.
Living Simple.
Everybody's going to make fun of it. I don't know, something like that. But those magazines are fun to have in your RV, just waiting for you to pick up and flip through.
Oh, totally agree. And I mean, but you're inspiring me, though. I do want to get back to books. And on our first RV trip of the season, I did knock out a book myself. And I felt really, I don't know, I felt like really accomplished about it, for goodness sake.
I knocked out a book also on our first RV trip of the season. And it's because of my next tip. I have embraced the page turner as a mom. Like, I think I used to feel more serious about having to read, like, the serious books and, like, the big thinks and everything. And now I'm just like, nope, I'm going to ask everybody what book they couldn't put down. And one of the ones that was out there was The Woman in the Window, right? Everybody's been raving about how this was, like, they couldn't put it down. So I just got The Woman in the Window.
And was it truly a page-turner?
Yeah, I have to say, it really was. But I didn't think it was as good as everybody was saying. But I don't even care anymore. I just feel like if a book takes me from the beginning to the end in a camping weekend, I feel better about my brain because I read. It really does help me. So I'm a big fan of the page turner at this point in my life.
I think that that's my big mistake.
Yeah, you always get into
I'm bringing like the
Lincoln biography.
I'm bringing like the Lincoln biography.
Always.
I'm like bringing something like long and onerous to the campground, like a history of World War II. And then it is. It's hard to get through.
You were lost in one of those last summer, and I can't even remember what it was.
I'll torture myself for months reading the same book. All right, so I'm going to swear to our podcast audience right now, I'm embracing page turners this summer. More fiction.
Join the dark side.
It's not. I don't really think it is the dark side, actually. It's not because I'm a snotty intellectual, because I think everyone knows I'm neither snotty nor an intellectual.
I feel like sometimes you get sucked into that with reading, because you're like the English teacher kind of thing. Like
I'm an idealist. I look at the book that I want, and in an ideal world, I would be able to read this over the weekend.
You were always a slow reader, too. So that, like, I remember, like, one summer it took you the whole summer to get through Moby Dick.
To be fair to our podcast audience, Stephanie is fast reader. So everyone now thinks I'm a slow reader. I read 40 pages an hour, which to most people, that's a fast reader or a totally regular reader. Okay, so everyone, could you please email me, jeremy@rvfta.com, and tell me how many pages you read in an hour? I think my 40 pages in an hour is just fine. But little Miss over here knocks out 100 pages, 120 pages in an hour, and it drives me crazy.
Watching you read The Brothers K over the course of like 10 months.
Did I finish it?
Yes.
And
but
it didn't take me 10 months. It took me 3 months. And it was 1,000 pages.
I know. All right. Well, so, let's move on. All right. Okay. So the other tip, I said go digital, but I'm going to tell you something. I also have gone old school. So like I save money, honestly, by going digital because I get all the books from the library that way. And I like that.
You're not buying books digitally.
No, I never buy books digitally. But then I really, really love having a paperback. So even though it's easier for me to borrow on the library digitally, the physical book helps me really enjoy reading. Like I do not enjoy a digital book in the same way. And I love that it's there and in my hand. And I just like...
And your kids see you reading a
book. And my kids see me. They don't think I'm just looking at my phone.
If it's an iPad, like they don't... They just think you're browsing the internet. You're setting a better example with a physical book.
That's what I said, I think, on our spring camping resolutions episode. I was like, I don't think my kids... see me as a reader.
I'm going to be the nerdy English teacher for a minute. There's a lot of research coming out that when you read a physical book, you remember it better and you learn more from it than when you read digitally, that you just don't remember it as well.
Yeah, I feel like the physical book helps me disconnect in a way that being on the digital doesn't. I love the ease of the digital, but the fact that when I'm on my physical book, like I don't even know where my phone is. I don't even, like, it just is a different experience.
Even on a Kindle, you can all of a sudden just like go shopping in the Kindle store. I mean, it's not like you're getting alerts from social media, but you can still distract yourself on a Kindle.
All right. And then my last tip was just to read something that's connected with your destination. I love that.
And I think we're both really good at that. So we're leaving for Charleston 2 days from the recording of this podcast. And I am bringing with me A Brief History of Charleston.
Such a page turner. Well, that's what you do.
I know, but I started it already. It's pretty good.
And then you say things like, you should really
read. I'm bringing the Wild Sam Field Guide to Charleston. That's an awesome, hip little travel guide series. It's like totally, totally different than like a Frommer's or a Moon Guide. It's like writing from locals and little mini essays. It's really good. I'm bringing the new issue of Rova, which I'm so excited has an article on Charleston. So I'm going to grab that and bring it. And I'm bringing my new Trailer Life.
Okay, so there you go. Which has nothing to do with Charleston. And none of them are page turners. So
The Brief History of Charleston's pretty good so far.
It's not a page turner.
You know what I should do? I should read a novel that takes place.
Right. So the last time we went to Charleston, sure, and now like I forget what it is. Yeah, the last time we went to Charleston, I read a popular artist who's like a low country writer and a novel that was set at the last
Prince of the Tides?
No, I didn't read that. I was thinking of reading Prince of Tides, but I've already read that one. But no, it was another author. I'll have to look and I'll have to put it in the show notes. But it took place during that last major hurricane that blew through the area. So it was like fictionalized, but it was interesting. It was fine. It was a page turner.
I think we could start a podcast all about books and reading in magazines. Or not.
We don't need another podcast. We'll just read more. How about that? We'll just read. We're not starting a podcast
all
about
right.
it.
I'm excited about this episode. So you got a hold of a copy of a book called How to Be a Happier Parent, Raising a Family, Having a Life, and Loving Almost Every Minute of It by KJ Del Antonia. And at the beginning of this book, she sets out some sort of mantras or principles of parenting. And I think that they were compelling to both of us and that they really struck a chord with both of us in terms of how we look at parenting. And I do read parenting books, and there's just like a lot of hits and misses for me. Like some are meaningful to me and others I feel like are garbage and you never just know. But we're going to walk through the mantras in this book and just talk about some valuable things about parenting that we think you all need to hear and that we need to hear.
Well, and that we apply directly to the RV camping and traveling with kids experience, right? Like we're kind of taking this book has nothing to do with camping and RVing and what we do with our kids all the time. But all of these mantras can be really directly related to experiences that we've had over the years traveling with our kids and being at the campground with our kids. So we're kind of going to take her ideas and kind of superimpose this RV lifestyle on them and talk about being a happier parent at the campground.
It's a beautiful book and you're reading it right now. And when you're done, I'm going to read the whole thing because I was really inspired by those opening mantras. So we'll be back in a second. We're going to talk about some nuts and bolts and some hard issues when it comes to parenting at the campground. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic. We're going to talk about being a happier camper at the campground. We're going to talk about tips for parents who aren't quite enjoying every minute. And that is us sometimes for sure. And these mantras that we're going to discuss are inspired. They come directly from a book by KJ Del Antonia called How to Be a Happier Parent, Raising a Family, Having a Life, and Loving Almost Every Minute. we're loving this book. We're recommending this book, and we want to inspire you to go out and buy a copy. But before we dive into her mantras, we have a big thank you to our sponsor, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
All right. Do you want to experience those character visits and all-day family fun at a truly affordable price? Then you need to check out the Jellystone Park Camp Resort experience. So Jellystone campgrounds are designed to let your family check out of your everyday busyness and stress and to-do lists and kick back and just remember what it's like to have fun together. We don't even leave the campground sometimes when we're staying at a Jellystone because you just get all those on-site activities like pools and splash parks and organized activities. Laser tag, you know, is one of the favorites of our older boys, of course. And I'll never forget the hours of fun that we had at the ninja training course at the Hagerstown one in Maryland. Like, just fun, unique, interesting things like that that you're not going to find anywhere else.
I'm craving a Jellystone trip. And I'm
We've got
I'm
one just, around
I'm,
the corner.
Well, I'm beyond excited that we have three Jellystone trips booked for this year, and I can't wait for each one of them.
Remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone, and now is the time to book for this year. So go to jellystonepark.com and make a reservation at a park near you.
All right, let's dive into some mantras here. And yeah. Look, some of these are tough for me because they hit at the core of some of my weaknesses, and I'll be honest.
Yeah, so I want to say that these are, so the author sets out in the first like 5 pages of the book, these 9 mantras that she kind of felt like kind of gave that overarching organization to all of her ideas as she was writing the book. So we're just kind of going through those 9 mantras and talking about them from our perspective as family travelers and family RVers. So we really recommend going and getting the book and reading the book. If you're the kind of parent who, to be honest with you, like, my pet peeve cliche is when people say enjoy every minute, because I feel like what it doesn't acknowledge is the truly difficult moments that we all face as parents, if you're trying to do it right.
And then if you have that in your mind, oh, enjoy every minute,
to be enjoying
well, then
this.
You think you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And then you start to blame yourself, and then you start to feel guilty and depressed when it's just like, you're just experiencing parenting and you're just going through the hard moments of parenting that everybody goes through, whether they're honest about them or not. And look, plenty of people just want to keep the harder parts private because you just don't want to talk about them. But every parent struggles with different processes of parenting.
Yeah. And I want my friends, like my real friends in life, they're the kind of people, they have to be, because otherwise I'm not friends with them, that put their arm around me and say, it's tough, but there's a light at the end of this tunnel. Like, let's work through this. How are we going to help? How are we going to make this better? Right? Like, and so because I view that as what a friend does for me, that's kind of what this podcast episode is sort of for all of our listeners. Like, we're here to tell you that we've never tried to act like traveling with kids, camping with kids, like every single moment is this moment to be cherished.
Totally not. But luckily, like the way memory works, you remember the fun stuff. So her first mantra, what you want now isn't always what you want later. Now, this is a problem for me. Like, this is difficult for me in a lot of ways. Because like sometimes I do just want to placate them in certain situations. Yes. So that they just like stop, just like stop whatever the argument, whatever the fight is. Yeah. I want it to end.
Yeah.
You know, and that sometimes means caving or not disciplining them. But then it's almost like you're dooming yourself to perpetually live through that kind of a problem.
Oh, and they up the ante. Anytime a kid knows,
oh, like, they'll punish you for it.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, I got that by whining. Watch this. Yeah. Like, hold my sippy cup.
Like, Wesley gets me with that, man. Yeah. Like, if he starts whining, part of me is like, oh my God, I had a long day at work. Let me just placate him. And then, but then, you know, it's like, I'm going to have to do this for, he's going to be 19 years old and do this to me, you know?
Yeah. And I think that when we were just writing our book, we finished up our most recent book, you know, in the last month. And one of the things that I was really so happy with was that some of the difficult things we did early on have paid off. Now that our older two are about to turn 10, we're just seeing the payoff so much more. Like, for instance, it wasn't fun driving 8 hours with 4-year-olds and a 1-year-old.
It wasn't fun driving 2 hours with them either. It just wasn't fun driving.
But we did it. We kept doing it.
And now, like, I'm excited even for the driving to Charleston.
They're road trip warriors.
You know, yeah. Like, the kids, I know they're going to be pretty good.
So, you know, I really do feel like investing in training. We've been doing this with chores over the last couple of seasons at the campground, and investing in that team training with our kids where we're saying we all work and we all play, right? And I feel like it's such a drain on us. Both of us. Why can't you just have a good attitude and help, right? But we just dig in and we like work through it, and I do see the payoff.
My first impulse, if they leave their dishes on the table after dinner, like my first impulse that thank God only lasts 5 seconds is to just put the dishes away for them because I don't want to have the battle. But then I have to tell them, we have to train them. You have to put your dishes away in life. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not fair. And no matter how you cut it, it is not okay to leave a dirty dish on the table for someone else to pick up.
Nobody can walk through life. So thankfully,
the higher impulse kicks in. We're like, I'm going to walk over to their bedroom. I'm going to say, you left your dishes on the table, and I'm going to deal with that problem, you know? But then hopefully they stop leaving their dishes on the table. And that hasn't exactly happened yet.
So we're seeing payoff on some things. And what happens is that hopefully that gives you the strength to dig in on other things, because we feel like we'll get the payoff there.
The payoff is sweet. And it's just, you get your sanity back with some of these things over the long haul.
All right. So the second mantra that she talks about that I want to say KJ Del Antonio talks about in her book, How to Be a Happier Parent, is there's nothing wrong.
This is what you need to hear all the time. Yes. And like, I would like to think this is what I'm good at, is that I just have the broader picture that like what my kids are doing wrong is just part of growing up, and they're going to be okay. They're going to be functioning citizens of the universe, and they're not going to grow up to be little monsters just because occasionally they act like little monsters. Like they are just going through what most kids go through growing up, and we're not doing anything wrong. We're doing our best. We're sticking to our principles, and they will be good young men.
I think that this is a really important one. It might be the most important one in this whole list for RVers in particular, because when you start RVing, you're almost introducing the opportunity for 1,000 things to be wrong at any given moment, right? It's easier to stay home with your kids. But when you go out there, right, you get a tire blowout, you could have a water leak, you could have forgotten clothing, right? Like, there's all these things that when you're traveling as a family can go wrong. And the whole thing is that you realize when you look back how many of those things were actually big problems. They were all solved. Do you know, there's really nothing wrong. They were all
hopefully
solved.
No one out there has like been stuck at a campground for a year, you know, with like a flat tire.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking like last summer we had this string of events between like the electric going out on our camper because we blew a fuse we couldn't find, and the broken power cord when I was on deadline for a magazine article.
There's a magazine article due, and the boys shredded her laptop cord. Yeah. I still don't exactly understand how they split her power cord. But like, there was a Trailer Life article due like the next day.
Yeah. And you know what? Guess what? There was an Apple store in Portland about a half hour away. Like, and then there's truly nothing wrong.
And we almost all of us got sick.
And we got the stomach virus.
And what's crazy is I still look back at that 6 days in Maine as being fun.
Yeah.
Which is, memory's weird that way. Yeah. But we got through all of those things. And when we look back, like that was far from our greatest RV trip, but it was still an RV trip worth taking, you know? But I hate to make things gender issues, but I think that I think that moms are harder on themselves with this thing. Like that moms are always thinking they're doing something wrong or things aren't working out or their kids are going to grow up and be crazy. And I think the dads are more like, it's going to be okay. I mean, we have boys, so maybe that's it. Like I look at them and I'm like, okay. Like I remember doing that too, you know, and look at the upstanding citizen I have become.
I'm just biting my tongue right now.
She's actually biting her tongue, which is amazing that she's still able to speak, but she's biting her tongue.
Okay.
So, but the point is, again, well, we said it already, don't be so hard on yourselves. I think our generation of parents, and I don't know how this happened with sort of like the Gen X generation of parents, we are just so all in on parenting and we are so hard on ourselves that it's almost like we just suck ourselves dry. And I think you got to reclaim some of yourself for yourself, as you were saying before.
All right. So the next mantra, and this I loved, and again, I said, these are so applicable to RVing and camping. It's amazing. But the next mantra was kids change.
Thank God.
Right. So sometimes we see this, especially like in our Facebook group and talking to listeners a lot, like sometimes you can forget that everything is a stage. And this is why we actually did that mini podcast back in January on the different stages of kids' development and how you can both embrace the good things and avoid the bad things, you know, of kids with those different stages. Like, we actually did this on our podcast because you can get lost in the weeds of whatever stage your kids are in and imagine that life is always going to be like that.
I think we all do that. Like, whatever hard thing you're going through with your kids, like, I mean, even when they're little, like, they're not sleeping at night, so you're exhausted. Right. Like, you have to say to yourself over and over again, this is going to end. And it often just really ends really quickly. And all of a sudden, you wake up the next day and you're like, they've changed. That thing that was driving me crazy for 6 months is over.
So if your little kids do really badly on car rides, like, don't give up going on car rides.
It would be so sad to give up RV trips because of that.
You're going to get through that. Like, Wesley, it was so bad. He was so, remember how he just cried and cried in his car seat? And our older two had been, like, they were the kind of kids that you put in the car to drive around to get to sleep. And it was so, and then we had this little guy who would just scream bloody murder. I thought he was getting car sick. We didn't know what to do. And then guess what? One day it turned off.
It can even be.
It's, who knows what it even happened, and he got okay.
It's even small things. Like, you know, like there were stretches where the Max and Theo hated me taking any pictures of them. Like, just any picture. Like, I just did not want to be in a picture. And now it's like, hey, guys, smile, picture.
And they give you a quick smile.
And they
give
me a smile and I get a picture. And I take fewer pictures of them and I try to be smarter about it. But the little things or the big things that are bothering you with your kids right now that you're stressing out about, they'll change. Now, the cynical thing is that something new will pop up.
When it does.
But hopefully you kind of keep refining them out. And
The point is just don't get stuck on like that being defining. So if your kids are hating hiking at the time, that doesn't mean that you give up hiking.
You can't give up. You can't, because you're giving up on something in yourself
that you love. That's important to you.
And you can. I do believe you can will your kids past certain problems that they're having. That you can, as a parent, say, you know what? Hiking's important to this family. Hiking's important to me, or whatever it is.
That's how you approach every relationship.
It is. And I
like with me. You're just going to will yourself past objections.
Yeah. Like, now, for instance, like
bull in a china shop.
I mean, our kids are awesome at hiking now. Like, we can go on hikes that are deeply fulfilling to my soul, and my kids don't crush that. In fact, they make
enjoy
it.
They enjoy it. But they've been years that that's not been the case.
Totally true.
The only thing that would get Wesley through a hike a few years ago was a big bag of Skittles,
M&M's, Twizzlers. Like, my God, I was going to buy stock in candy companies just to get the kid through a hike. But he blew past that. And then he was proud of himself.
Yeah.
Like, he was also really fulfilled by the fact that he had overcome that problem.
All right. So those are the first three mantras. We are going to come back in a minute and talk about three more. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for three more mantras from KJ Del Antonio's great book, How to Be a Happier Parent, Raising a Family, Having a Life, and Loving Almost Every Minute. And I love the fact that she qualifies and reminds us that you're not going to love every minute. And she puts it right in the title. Now, there's going to be some more tough ones to talk about here, but we're going to talk about them. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Truma. And getting a Truma AquaGo and having endless hot water will help you get through some rough moments on RV trips, because you can go take a really nice hot shower and your kids aren't going to use up all the hot water on you. Because if your kids are driving you crazy at the campground and then that night they get hot showers and you don't, well, then it's time for a Truma AquaGo.
Yeah, it's just a treat yourself moment.
Treat yourself.
Truma, treat yourself. That's what I think their tagline should be.
Oh my God.
If I was doing marketing for them, that's what I would do. Truma, treat yourself.
How many parents don't get a hot shower because they give all their kids baths and hot showers? There's no hot water left. We don't have to deal with
that problem.
Right.
So the AquaGo is something that offers you truly instant, constant, and endless hot water. All right. It replaces any existing 6 to 16 gallon RV water heater. You can decalcify it. You can easily winterize and dewinterize it. All right. No problems there. If you look at your home and live in your RV like it is a second home, which we do, this makes it as comfortable and livable as your home.
Is it weird that I'm excited about decalcification?
All right. Well, don't get excited about it. Just do it. Go to Truma.com to learn more about the AquaGo. All right. Ready for three more mantras?
No, but let's do it anyway. Okay. Because it's hard to self-reflect, right?
All right. So number four, this is something that I'm good at.
Something that I'm awful
and
at.
And you're bad
I'm,
at.
I'm so ridiculously bad at this. This may be my greatest character flaw, not only as a parent,
oh my god,
but as a human being.
All right. So this is, if you see something, you don't always have to say something.
I do.
This is my training as a elementary school teacher, right? If you picked every battle, you would be battling nonstop, right? I watch everything that goes on and I don't say anything about 80% of it. Now, I definitely log it and file it away so that if there's a time, then when the problem...
You're always watching.
Oh, I'm always watching.
Stephanie's always watching.
I know everything that goes on.
And I think that she's about to dive into the muck with them and then she doesn't. And then I do. And like, for instance, last night, the twin boys, Max and Theo, something happened between the two of them and one of them went off to their room. And he went off to his room and he started reading. Which, okay, that's fine. Something happened between them and one of them decided, okay, the way I'm going to deal with this is to like go read a book. Like he was actually making a mature decision.
Yes.
But of course, I had to know like what happened? Who did what?
And what did mom say? What did mom say?
And you were just like, let it go.
I said, let it go. I had to say that to you over and over again. Max, they were,
let it go.
They were learning how to work out a disagreement.
They were totally being mature. And I was like,
she's like, what happened?
And it was just this like, like ridiculous, childish, almost like this curiosity in me, you know, like somebody did something wrong and I want to know what it is because I'm dad. And it was stupid. I didn't need to do it.
Yeah. I mean, giving them space is so great. Like, and at a campground to be like, okay, everybody's getting on each other's nerves. You go ride your bike. You go to the bounce pill. Like, let's learn how to redirect our energy, give ourselves headspace, give ourselves a brain break from each other. And not have to solve every disagreement, but sometimes there's that fantastic quote. I wish I know who said it, but like, you know, it's been memed to death, but you know, I don't have to attend every argument I get invited to. And that's how I feel about my kids. You know, I do not have to attend this. Like I can decide whether it's important, truly critically important for me to help you solve this problem in your development. But otherwise, I'm going to let it run.
Yeah, like if two of your kids get in a fight on the trampoline, like, and they're dealing with it, let them deal with it.
Yeah. All right. So what's the next one?
You do you. And
I think we're both good at this.
I think we're both good at this. Like, I don't make myself miserable by comparing myself to other parents because I think I just know that, yeah, first of all, everybody's kids are so different. So it's kind of pointless to really compare yourself to some other parent out there who you think is better than you because their kids are different. You know, all our families are totally unique.
Day one, we have dismissed that common thing in the camping and RVing community that says what camping looks like. From day one, we said, nobody's going to tell anybody in the RVFTA community what camping looks like. So like, that's a popular thing, right? Somebody says, somebody posts a picture of watching TV in the camper and people like to pile on social media and say, go outside and take a walk, turn the TV on. They like to judge. We've had people send us pictures like judging other people in the camper. We're like, no, we don't do that. Sorry. You do
you.
We
take those photos down in our group. Yeah.
Like you do you. And we are very confident in our decisions that we've made about a lot of things. But like if other people are enjoying geocaching and hiking with their kids and you're sitting around feeling bad because you don't do that, go move on. Don't feel bad. You decide what works for your family.
Yeah, it's also just a bizarre thing to have any concern about how much TV someone else's kids are watching. Like it's like
don't worry about it.
Well, it's just hard enough. I got to take care of my kids. That's hard enough. I don't have time to worry about your kids at all.
So say crafting. That is something that my boys, when I was when they were younger, I tried to force that because I felt like my boys weren't doing enough, like rock painting or like these like kind of creative, right? Like, let's go collect pine cones and leaves and make some sort of fun collage. And it took me a little while to realize that nobody was having fun with that stuff because it really wasn't what the boys enjoyed doing. Like, they would have rather been at the pool or at the playground. They were gross motor skills kids, not fine motor skills kids. And I just had to say, why am I doing this? Because I feel compelled by comparison to do it. No, and I let it go. And we don't really do arts and crafts that much as a family because the kids don't really care for it.
And you know, like I've gone through this issue a little bit in my own mind. Like, there was a time when Max and Theo like loved the Junior Ranger program and they wanted to be park rangers, and that's not that they don't want to anymore, and that's okay. Like, they want to play catch. That's, you know, they want to play baseball at the campground. That's awesome too. And I just have to say, on our last camping trip, we did family movie night in the RV. It was chilly Saturday night. We didn't want to really have a campfire. It was cold out. We all came in as a family into the RV. The kids have been playing outside all day. And we put in Inside Out and we watched it as a family. And it was like a really fun, nice time with our family. And I really, really enjoyed it. And some people would, I guess, judge that. But that's just bizarre to me.
We don't watch a lot of movies together as a family. We really do it once a week or so. And or TV shows. I love watching TV shows with my kids. I think it's honestly a bonding experience. And I choose America's Worst Chef that we record on the TV. And then we come together, me and my boys sit on the couch and watch America's Worst Chef. And like, we love watching that together. And nobody can tell me that that's not a valuable experience because we enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's just the era of social media. We're just all seeing too much of each other's lives.
So but we're okay at that. We have to remind ourselves about it, but we're okay with that. But if you need that encouragement, let me tell you that Jeremy and I probably get more people telling us what we should do, what is right, what is wrong, than most campers out there, because we're out there on social media. And so we know how you feel, and we want to tell you it's okay to dig in and say, my family is going to be the way my family
is. Life's too short to do it any other way.
Yes. Yeah, all right. You know? Now the next one. Oh my gosh, this is another one you're so bad at. And I'm good at this. All right. You can be happy when your children aren't.
This is ridiculous that like if one of the boys is like sad or upset about something, I'm not happy. It's just ridiculous. Every day kids find something to be unhappy about for some brief stretch of time.
Right. Years ago, I had to tell you, you were telling the boys like what they will enjoy doing. Like, you know, when you were getting mad at them for their bad attitudes, you'd be like, you will enjoy going hiking.
And what I said to you was, no.
You can't tell them they will enjoy it. You just need to tell them they're going to do
it. You're coming and you're not going to ruin it by vocalizing your complaints. Like, say your complaints in your head, not out loud.
Right. And set the parameters for what is an acceptable dislike about something.
And of course, you make them like things less when you tell them they have to like them. That's just human nature.
And I always point out to them the things that I don't necessarily enjoy that I do for their benefit. I have no problem telling my kids, do you think I want to spend the next 2 hours at so-and-so's birthday party at the House of Bounce? No, I don't like that. But I'm not going to put a little puss on my face and a scowl and sit there.
Why do parents in our generation have to go to so many birthday parties? So why are there so many more birthdays? I feel like kids are celebrating their birthdays 2-3 times a year.
Oh my gosh. We cannot get into that.
It's because of these whole class birthday parties.
Yes. And we shouldn't go into it. That is a bunny trail. Whoa, a dangerous one.
Because in a sense, it's nice. You don't want to leave anybody out.
Oh, now you're qualifying.
But then guess who suffers? Mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
Have to go to 52 birthday parties a year.
Oh, I tell my kids, I'm not going to pretend, but like, I don't enjoy that, but that's okay because I love you and you want to go to
If you secretly want to gripe about the number of birthday parties you're taking your kids to, send me an email and we'll go back and forth. We'll complain about it a little bit and we won't let anybody
know. Jeremy@rvfta.com. Don't send me that email because it's bad enough.
I did the birthday party circuit this winter.
Oh, no. I think we should look at the scorecard.
Let's move on.
All right. So you can be happy when your children isn't, right? Remember that. Do the things that you enjoy doing when you're camping and don't allow your kids to take your joy. They're joy suckers. And all the new kids that are listening out there, I'm sorry. I love you all. It's my greatest happiness that kids listen to this show with their parents. And we're joking when we say that, but we joke that way to our kids too. Because when they suck our joy, they need to know that they're sucking our joy.
We were the same way. I mean, we were the same way.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. We can identify and all these characteristics in ourselves.
I think it is a good time to say, it's all absolutely worth it. I love having a family. I love being a father. I love having kids. And all of it makes me a bigger, better person. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
All right. We have three more mantras to talk about. So stay tuned and we'll be back.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for three more mantras from KJ Del Antonia's book, How to Be a Happier Parent, Raising a Family, Having a Life, and Loving Almost Every Minute. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford, and they also make us happier on RV trips because left to their own devices, our kids would destroy our toilets and everything would smell bad all the time.
We've had
but
to teach
to
them
Thetford's
proper
products, the RVs don't smell bad.
All right. It is camper stock-up season for a lot of people who have just dewinterized, okay? And here's what we have in our camper. We have the AquaSoft toilet tissue because regardless of all of those people out there that want to tell you this online, we truly believe it's important to get toilet tissue that is made for your RV tank system.
If any family could clog an RV toilet, it's our family, and we've never clogged one.
No. The AquaSoft, it keeps us running, okay? Okay, in that system. We also use our AquaChem drop-ins. So every time we've shown this online, every single time we empty those tanks out, we put a drop-in along with 2 gallons of fresh water in there, and we do not get tank odor. So you just leave that little package of the drop-ins there. And then if you, unlike us, we could care less about whether the sensors read correctly because we pretty much guess.
Give up.
But if you really care about sensors, all right, then you want to use the tank blaster. And that's going to sit overnight. You're going to like fill it up. You're going to put it in and then you're going to let it sit and then you're going to drain it out and you're going to have nice clean sensors.
And it has worked for us. And on an RVFTA, the group, we've also have several people say they've used it and it's worked.
And it clears out those sensors. So visit Thetford.com for more information. All right. Next mantra.
I'm hoping I'm good at a few more of these.
Do you?
Yes. I think I'm like a 50-50.
No. You are the last one, Jeremy. You're all about. Okay?
And it's the only one that matters.
All right.
Okay. But number 7, decide what to do and do it. And again, oh my God, this is painful. I mean, I do vacillate. Like, is this the right discipline? Should I punish them? Should they have to go to their rooms? Half an hour in the rooms, 10 minutes in their rooms. Should I not take them out for ice cream?
Smell your weakness.
Oh, they don't.
And they
That's
attack.
Why they come to dad and ask for things that they don't ask
they
you
don't
for.
Even. And you're like, why do they do this to me? And I'm like,
well, I also, I'll punish them and
you.
Then I'll send them to the rooms for half an hour. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, all right.
And then you get all puppy dog and like sad about it. And then you go, no, there's no sadness. Go serve your time. All right. So right. Decide what to do and do it. I used to say when I taught high school, I used to tell kids that my high school students, I'm a benevolent dictator. I'm kind. I'm thoughtful. I listen. I always listen to all sides of the story. But ultimately, when I make a decision, I'm super confident in that decision. And that's why I always tell you, don't always make your decisions right away. You always want to make your decision about the punishment or whatever. And sometimes I say, stop, don't think about it. You'll look at me and you'll say, well, what's the punishment?
Well, then the problem is,
I don't know,
but if I decide later, then I'm not mad anymore and I don't punish them at all. And
well,
you actually
okay.
do. No,
right,
I'm saying
because
I'm wrong.
I look at a consequence as a learning opportunity. And that's why I always look for logical consequences. Like, what is going to teach them
and
not to
And that's Stephanie in a nutshell. She looks at consequences as learning opportunities.
How's that working around
Consequences
here?
Are fun.
Say that.
Consequences are like broccoli.
Yes, I love broccoli. What's wrong with broccoli? Why is everybody so down on broccoli? All right. I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, I really do. Sometimes I tell the kids, we'll talk about this. Like, things are like, okay, this is going to change because this isn't working for me. Like with me having to chase them down around the neighborhood for me to get them to their baseball practice in time. I'm like, no. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to change, but I'll let you know when I figured out how this is going to change. And they know it's coming. Like, and they're like, oh gosh, what's she going to do? Like, what are we going to get? And so like, I think about it. And then once I decide what I'm going to do, get on board. Like, don't be the vacillator when you're traveling.
It's better.
Let your kids have that influence to be like, Mom, Dad.
Well, what you're arguing for is more logical parenting as opposed to emotional parenting.
And that doesn't work at all for you.
The thing is, well, like, the kids are so emotional. Then if you're emotional too, it's just like a recipe for disaster. So being more objective, more unbiased, more unemotional, I think is probably good for the sanity of the parent and good for the well-being of the child. Can we move on to the ones
No, because I want to give some really specific RV examples and camping examples of when this might help you, okay? So if you set allowance for souvenirs, stick to it, okay? Decide and do it. iPod's not coming on the trip. Decide and do it. Don't say it unless you're willing to follow through.
I've been good with that.
Each kid gets to pick an activity on the trip. Don't give up on that. Show them in a positive way too. I said that you could pick an activity, follow through
on that. Should we do that this time?
No, because I already have the activities I wanted to pick.
We've been talking about that for years.
One game of laser tag at the campground. Follow through on it, right? If you say one game of laser tag before you go, just follow through on it. As soon as you show that chink in the armor that if they beg enough, they'll get the second game or whatever, it's hard to travel with kids when they think everything's negotiable.
They'll henpeck you.
Yeah, they will. All right. So do you think that you're good at the next one?
I do.
Okay. I think the next two are strong.
You don't have to get it right every time. And I think that I don't get it right every time, and I'm okay with that.
We've built a brand out of that. We share our constant mishaps and mistakes.
It's part of the journey, though. Yeah. I mean, to have this expectation that you're always going to be flawless and make the right decisions as a parent, and as a parent who's traveling with kids in an RV, which is, you know, can all add up to be kind of complex, it's unrealistic, and I just don't want to live in that space.
I do not think there is anything wrong with making mistakes as a parent. I think not learning from those mistakes is a tragic flaw. Like, not really saying what went wrong there and how can we fix it for next time. And I think that that's hopefully what we do a lot on this show. Like, when we say, like, you know, about tire maintenance, we're like, we had a blowout. We didn't know we had to lube our axles and pack our bearings and everything. Like, we didn't realize that, but now we do it religiously. Well, like, we're showing people it's okay that there's a learning curve in life.
Ironically, there's a lot of research that people get happier as they get older, and particularly if they have families. And I can say conclusively, you know, our Max and Theo are 9, about to be 10, you know, almost a decade into parenting, I'm a much happier dad than I was, you know, when we first got started. So if you're in the muck of it, you know, if your kids are young and you are really emotionally struggling with it, however that's manifesting itself in you, I think that you should be hopeful that you're going to be happier. And I've noticed that about a lot of parents around us, like in our neighborhood, even we're friendly with parents who have, you know, whose kids are teenagers now or off to college. And I do look at them and I see that they're happy. I think they're satisfied. And they've taken pleasure in the journey they've been on, and they've looked back and see the big picture of success with raising their kids.
And the last mantra is so connected with family travel and camping and RVing and all of the reasons why we do this anyway. Soaking up the good. Just soak up the good. That is 100% what all the studies show happens. Actually, when you travel and take family vacations. So the research shows that you actually remember things more positively.
That trip to Maine where all those things went wrong.
You could barely remember, right?
Yeah, I just, sunshine and roses, man. I look back at it as a great trip.
Yeah, they say that you naturally put like filters on all of these.
Is that why those older parents all look happy?
Yeah, because they've just filtered it all out.
Memory has done its work.
Yeah. And so here we are, and we could sit there and we could like list all the times that we had a fight in the car backing up the trailer, or our kids were complaining about this activity or that activity. But when you think back to the trip, what does sort of float to the surface, right? What kind of filter, what haze have you put over those memories?
Thank God we were made that way.
That's like, you can't, and you do it worse than anybody else, because you do not remember the sheer torture of that car ride back from Mount Rushmore last summer. You are like, that was the best trip ever. And I'm like, those 2 days of us getting home were the longest two days of my life.
14 awesome days on a road trip. So 2 days, just do the math.
It's it doesn't matter.
It's a small percentage of the whole picture. I think, I mean, hopefully that's how, when you look back at your parenting experience, you know, like 80% of it, you know, even if it's 70% of it, was really good. And that's going to, it's not just that it rises to the top of your memory. It's just that more of it was good.
I definitely want to get better at doing this year in particular. I want to look at my kids very intentionally in the moments of things like those hiking, you know, to the top of the mountains, or walking the dog around the campground, you know, the boys like doing something that, are riding their bikes. Like, I just want to look at those moments and really soak up the good and say, look at this moment of their life. Isn't this amazing? I'm so happy that they're having this amazing experience.
Because it's cliche, but it goes really fast.
Yes, I know.
It goes really fast.
I can't believe the boys are double digits.
I know. I know.
Crazy.
And you know, like, I'm starting to think in terms of how many summers I have left with them for RV trips at home. And it's providing some clarity for me in terms of, like, what do I really want to do? What kinds of where do I want to take them? Are we going to do Route 66? Or are we going to, you know, drive out to California and back? Are we going to do a baseball themed trip in the RV? You know, it's helping me realize it is precious, and I really, really want to make the most of it and look back and have no regrets.
Yeah.
And I think I can say right now, I have few to none looking back at how we've raised our kids. And in terms of the RVing and the camping.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're doing okay. I'm harder on myself that way. Like, I just want so much out of life for my kids. I really do.
They're happy as can be.
And
they're happy as can be. They're like the kings of the neighborhood, and they get to go on all these amazing trips all over the country.
Well, all right. So this season for us, if you remember all the way back to episode number one, this season for us was dedicated to the inspiration, right? Like, what is it that we do? Our why behind family travel, RVing, and camping. And we really wanted all of the episodes to kind of be inspiring in some way or another, right? In very different ways, because we did a lot of different types of episodes. But I think that this is a nice way. We're going to wrap up our season next week with our spring gear guide. But I do think that this episode was a really nice way for us to just share a lot of the stuff that we don't necessarily get to always share on this show, that's really a little more parenting focused and kind of nitty gritty, and all the struggles that we are putting through our mind on a daily basis.
As you're going through your RV journey as an RV family, don't fall into the trap of looking at everyone else on Instagram and everyone else on social media and how perfect their trips are and how perfect their lives are and how beautiful their campsite is. It's behind the scenes. It's all the same for all of us. We all have our highs and lows and our struggles, and don't be too hard on yourself. That's the message here.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we share as much of that as we can, I think, without compromising our kids, right? So I always want to tell you guys that we're not perfect parents, but I also don't want to embarrass my 9 and 10-year-old kids. So we're careful about that, but we're always here to say we're learning, we're figuring it out, and we want to share with you at least what we do kind of
for
come
instance,
to terms
with. If I told you what actually happened on the trampoline last night, that would embarrass somebody.
Exactly. So we just
not going to do it.
We're not going to give those details and everything, but we're just going to, you know, always continually let you know that our kids complain, our kids whine, they hate doing some of the stuff we do, we yell, everybody gets in a big tizzy, and then we sort it out and
I'm yelling less though.
Okay.
I'm yelling less.
Yes, that's true.
I read Scream Free Parenting. It was another good parenting book, and there was parts of it I didn't like, but I am yelling a lot less.
All right. All right, guys. So we are going to come back in a minute to wrap up the show with our RVFTA news roundup. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us. I hope you grabbed onto something meaningful in this episode. It was fun for us to walk through the things that we do well as parents and the things that we struggle with, and it's always kind of nice to have these honest conversations.
And make sure you check out How to Be a Happier Parent, Raising a Family, Having a Life, and Loving Almost Every Minute by KJ Del Antonia. I actually heard her on a podcast talking about this book, which is why I wound up buying it.
Can we link to that in the show notes?
Try. I'm telling you, it was far enough. I'll try to figure out, because it's not a podcast I normally listen to. And to be honest, I don't love it that much.
I'll help you find out. All right.
I'll try to figure it out. But yeah, so this book is worth it. We just talked about what she talked about in her intro. So this is actually the rest of the book that you can read.
What I really like about this parenting book is it takes the pressure off.
A lot of parenting books are just like they're
piling the pressure on about some system or some way that you should be raising your kids. So I really appreciated that about this one.
All right. Now, we are super excited to tell you more about the RVFTA Spring Merch Shop, which is wrapping up and coming to a close. So you have to hurry and make your orders. But we also want to thank Bass Pro and Cabela's. Everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors is at Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's. And guess what? It's very affordable. I love that about being on the pro staff of Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops, because I get to say they can outfit your family for an affordable price.
It's the intersection of quality and good price, and this stuff is good quality too.
Right. So the things that we've now been using for years that we absolutely love, some examples are our Cabela's outdoor camp kitchen. We lost the outdoor kitchen on our trailer when we traded in the White Hawk for the toy hauler. We replaced it with the Cabela's camp kitchen, and I love it.
Yeah. People ask all the time, should I get an outdoor kitchen in my RV? And I mean, yeah, outdoor kitchens are great on RVs, but you can also buy something like the Cabela's camp kitchen and just make your own, and it works really well.
All the camp chairs have held up to, our very heavy use and abuse.
And by the way, the Polar Cap coolers, I know those are not cheap, but if you buy one, you'll have it for 20 years. Yeah. I mean, like if you buy a cheap cooler, you're going to be buying another one in 2 years. These things are just made for the apocalypse. I mean, I love them.
And I want to point out one other superstar, the Cabela's ice maker. That thing has been kicking out ice for a few years now for us. And honestly, we don't like to travel without it. We put the seltzers in the cooler outside on ice, and we put that ice going through the ice maker, and everybody has cold drinks at the campground all the time.
And it's easy to clean out too, by the way, because everyone always asks, oh, is it easy to clean?
Yeah,
it's just like paper towel, wipe it out and rock and roll and get some ice going.
All right. So visit BassPro.com or Cabela's.com and find more ways that you can affordably jazz up your campsite with affordable quality camping gear that's going to last you for years.
All right, everybody, the RVFTA Spring Merch Shop is open, but not for that much longer. And once it closes, I don't know that we're going to do it again till next year.
No,
so if you want, and it's good stuff. Everybody that's buying the stuff is loving it. So there's limited quantities of hats. There's t-shirts. There's hoodies. There's really great coffee mugs. There's a lot of stuff in there. There's onesies for the babies.
Yeah, we kept a lot of the stuff from our last shop, and that was really popular, and everybody's had it for a year, and everybody posts their pictures of their personalized RVFTA campsite flags, which are super cute. People really loved, as much as I did, the women's t-shirts and hoodies. Everybody loved that soft fleece sweatshirt that's on there that was supposedly incredibly warm. I didn't get one of those, so I might this year. But then we also added some new stuff. We added some doggy stuff and some infant onesies and kid sizes, because the boys wanted RVFTA hoodies.
And so the flags, you can get your family name customized on an RVFTA flag. People do meet each other at the campground seeing the RVFTA flag. So
yes,
that people are loving those too. If you've bought any merch, if you want to post a picture of it in RVFTA, the group, we sure would appreciate it.
Absolutely. So make sure you head over, place your order by April 28th. That's when the shop closes and everything gets made and printed and shipped out. So we really can't add any orders after that. It's just not possible. So make sure you get it now. Don't send us emails later. That's always what happens.
And we will see you at the campground, which is the title of our next book, which
we just
completed.
Bye-bye.
See you at the campground.